This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. You can hear how happy I am. It is that time of year again.
This is the best time. This is the best show of the year.
Hit it.
Thanksgiving is more than eating, Chuck. We should just be thankful for being together.
No. I'm so thankful for being with you, Tiffany Faison.
Always! I love you. It's so nice to see you.
So Tiffany Faison back here in Studio 2. This is our second year together doing
Friendsgiving.
Yes!
Yay!
We have a number of local chefs, restaurant owners with us. Really looking forward to it. Okay, but I'm not going to lie. The thing I'm honest to God most excited about is what you brought, because I have been thinking about it.
For a year.
I have. It was months. I thought about this stupid, wonderful food for months.
I thought about bringing something else, and I was like, there's no way.
So
like,
please tell everyone what you brought.
We said the annual Thanksgiving pizza from Tenderoni's.
Yay!
So it's our pizza crust, burnt parm, and then we have mashed potatoes, stuffing, turkey tossed in gravy, cranberry sauce on top of it, little Parmesan and parsley.
Okay.
We've worked with it throughout the year. So last year, I think it was about 5 pounds a piece.
Oh my God.
It's a little slimmed down this year. It's a little more elegant.
It's gorgeous. And this is like a 2.5 foot long?
Yeah, it's our large pizza at Tenderoni's. We're serving this. We're selling this year. We made it a thing.
Are you good?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I honestly had planned to say to you, if you didn't have it on the menu after this time, like,
put it on the
what are you thinking?
Menu. Yeah.
People will tell you that for months after
no, you just
last
mentioned it to
time,
me for months,
I kept thinking about it. All right,
here,
so
let me grab
can
some.
We get a little
of
bit?
Of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me get my water out of your way, my
oh,
hot
good.
Water
Sorry.
Here. So this is last year. So just to give some context for people, we did Friendsgiving for the first time. It's a monstrous serving.
And I give you 2 pieces.
Tenderoni's had not opened
1 year, right. It's our birthday. It's our first birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy
very much.
Birthday.
Thanks.
So you brought this in as a sneak preview, and you said at the time, listen, only for this.
Only
right?
for this.
It's
I
not
wasn't
on
gonna
the
do
menu.
It for real. And we didn't put it on the menu last year.
Yeah. Okay. So listen, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take my headset off so I can get a good crunch on this, a good bite.
Hey.
And tell us a little bit more about what Thanksgiving means to you, what your plan is, a little bit more.
Happy to. Thanksgiving is different in my family. So it used to be very traditional. This is, I think, our 10th year doing Cheeksgiving. It's not something we talk about that much in the world. We close down Sweet Cheeks on Wednesday night, so this coming Wednesday, and we welcome in, we started with Wounded Warriors, and we've moved to an organization called Hope House. They are a halfway house from people who are previously incarcerated and are working through their addiction and living their lives freely again. So we have them in. The city is super generous, and they provide buses, and they bring in the people that are staying in the Hope House, and we cook for them.
Oh, amazing.
And it's the most lovely dinner full of gratitude.
What's on the menu?
Oh, traditional. So we smoke turkeys, mashed potatoes. We do creamed onions, broccoli cheese casserole. We have yams, biscuit stuffing, obviously, tons of pies. I mean, we go nuts. And
so I want to pause you on the biscuit stuffing, obviously, because people who have not tried the biscuits from Sweet Cheeks are missing yet another roll your eyes back in your head and faint.
Thank you.
Oh my God, they're incredible.
Thank you.
And like big as your head.
They're giant.
Too. Yeah.
They're fantastic. If you're going to make a good thing, make a big good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this, I was enjoying your talking because it allowed me to chew longer. You know, as usual with Tenderoni's, crunchy on the outside crust. It's the cheese, right?
Yep.
It's the cheese combined with all these traditional Thanksgiving ingredients. How did you know? Well, I understand, but how did you know that the pizza cheese would be so good with things like cranberry sauce and stuffing?
I didn't. We put it together last year, and we thought, okay, this is a thing.
Yeah.
So
amazing.
You helped me birth the Thanksgiving pizza.
I'm so glad.
We kind of did it together, let's
it's
be
incredible.
Honest. How did you know?
Well, I didn't. No. After the first bite, though, I was ready to, you know, kill anyone who stood in my way of getting a second bite.
We brought two this year, so you're
oh
in the
God.
Clear. What
Fantastic.
Is in the bowl?
So I made this for this time. You can see all the butter.
Oh,
on
my
top.
Gosh. This is correctly done. What you guys
Yay!
Are not seeing is this gorgeous bowl of mashed potatoes that's nice and warm. And here's how you know mashed potatoes are done well. There should be a layer of, like, melty butter on top. If
there
there's
is.
Not, you haven't done it well. Mashed potatoes are a conduit. They are simply a delivery system for butter and cream.
Yay.
I believe that in my soul.
So these have skins on. They are a combination of white potato, yellow, and red with the skins on.
Why do you use three different potatoes?
Honest to God, because I was in a hurry and that was the bag.
That's the chefiest response I've ever heard. It was so good.
Cream cheese, whole milk, salt,
butter. Cream cheese?
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, to make it smoother.
It's so smooth.
I'm so glad.
And it's not like, sometimes mashed potatoes are overworked with the gluten. I love the skins in them. It adds like a really rustic, delicious flavor to it. I love this.
What I like about the cream cheese is the reheat. It saves them from drying out 100%. On the reheat. And since usually I do a big Thanksgiving and I'm pre-making things a couple days before, and if I have to reheat, the cream cheese saves them from drying
out. That's so smart. Because anytime I reheat mashed potatoes, I'm always adding like more butter and more cream. Not saying don't do that, but cream cheese.
Yeah.
And it's a binder. It works to like hold it all together and holds in the dairy.
There you go.
Wow.
With lots of butter. Yay. I was so nervous to bring
Come
you.
Come on.
I always am.
No one invites me to dinner. Am. No one cooks for me. So this is like the only day of the year.
Okay, so we're going to bring another chef in for a minute. We're here with Tiffany Faison. It's our second annual Friendsgiving. We are standing here. We're going to be standing for the whole hour, which will do nothing to burn the calories of the food that is coming through.
I run and play.
But before we bring our other chef in, we have to do one more thing, which is you have to tell me the outfit you're wearing, because I absolutely love this.
Friends, I'm wearing a Thanksgiving onesie. Mm-hmm. It's a full jumpsuit.
It's fabulous.
There's some turkeys on it. There's some fall leaves on it. It's about as obnoxious as it comes.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, it's just the right kind of too much.
Thank you.
For today with some gold sneakers.
Some gold Jordans on.
That's right. And we're taking some social video here, and we will be sure to get a
Show
posting
the world how
of
bad
this.
This is.
So in walks our next chef. You're excited. So you
so
do the
excited.
Introduction.
Okay. Chef, you guys have had the biggest year. This is Chef Kwasi Kwa. Kwa.
Kwa.
Kwa. You are the chef of Comfort Kitchen. You guys opened, a little over a year ago?
I'm eating another bite while you guys talk.
Are you out of here yet?
January 25th.
It will be January.
Yeah.
Okay. I ate there, I think, in March?
March.
Yeah. I traveled so much that I haven't been back. I was blown away.
Thank you.
From the minute you walk in, it's the type of restaurant that you know that you're cared for from the minute you walk in. It's not showy. It is beautiful in its simplicity. The food is so stunningly good. It is unlike anything else in Boston. It is elegant and welcoming and dynamic. And it's rare that you have a restaurant that has the deft hand of a chef, perfectly seasoned, everything so technically perfect, and then also so soulful and delicious and of a time and place. You guys have been named one of the best restaurants in the country. There have been no end to the awards that you guys have absolutely deservedly gotten this year. I'm so thrilled that you're able to make it. I'm just such a fan.
Thank you so much. Coming from you, that is such a compliment. Thank you.
No, it's my pleasure. I don't hand out compliments that like that. I genuinely feel that way, and I'm so thrilled you guys are a part of the community in Boston, and it's we need more of what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
So welcome.
Thank you.
I moved
Thank
my mic out of the way because I snuck another bite at the pizza. Two of you were talking. I've just made you a plate.
Thank you.
That you are free to taste whenever you'd like of the mashed potatoes.
We're
and
doing it now.
But really, do the pizza. The Thanksgiving pizza is just amazing.
Mashed potatoes are good, aren't they?
Oh my God.
Thank you.
I know.
Thank you very much.
I know you say that they're just the potatoes that you had in the bag, but the different skins from the different potatoes, like the red skin and then the golden, there's obviously like russets in there and maybe some like... all the skins are different, and it just adds so much
complexity. I will do it on purpose from now on.
Yes, so good.
And you brought us jollof rice.
Jollof rice, yes.
So tell us about this.
Oh, man. Jollof rice is something I grew up with. I grew up in Ghana, West Africa, and jollof rice is very much a celebratory, you know. At my family house, Thanksgiving, jollof rice was present all the time, you know, and it's just... It's a taste of home.
It is like the, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like, it is the celebratory dish of Ghana.
Yes.
It is like when you welcome someone to your home, like my friend Eric Ajapong makes it and I just go nuts for his jollof rice. Yeah. I love all types of it. So I cannot wait to try yours.
So the types word would have been my next question. Like, is there a sacred single recipe or are there many kinds of jollof rice? Ooh. Are there some staples to it? And then you vary it. Tell me a little more.
West Africans. So there is this constant debate about who makes the better jollof rice. And I'm sorry, y'all, Ghana.
Yeah. yep.
Ghana, so home team rivalry there. Yes,
yeah.
A lot of home team rivalry. I mean, the mechanics of it is all very similar, but then the ingredients changes it. Some people put, you know, I've seen people put green beans in their jollof rice, and for Ghanaian, the Ghanaian recipes are very much meat-based. You do the meat, and then you build on the sauce for the jollof rice, and then you cook the rice in the sauce.
Give us a quick rundown of the ingredients that are traditionally in jollof rice.
Take the lid off, please, so I can be peeking while we...
And then jollof... So if you'll give us that rundown, but jollof rice is country-specific, region-specific, house-specific, mother-specific.
Yeah. It's like... Mother, grandmother, auntie-specific as well.
I love it,
It's DNA-specific.
Exactly.
I love it.
Exactly.
So tell us what's in this gorgeous bowl, which looks a little like, by the way, a saffron risotto that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. Sorry.
So from our house, we do the base. The base, you start with the jollof base. That's the stew that you build before.
What's in that?
Yeah. I got ginger, garlic, basil, fresh basil, crushed tomatoes, a little bit of chicken stock. And then salt, pepper, scotch bonnets. Fresh scotch bonnets.
Yes.
Fresh scotch bonnets.
Habaneros. Yep.
Yeah. Cause, you could do cayenne pepper, but I find that scotch bonnet really, it gives that spice, but it also lends that fruitiness from the scotch bonnet itself.
People have a hard time getting past like the heat of scotch bonnet. And I understand that if you're not particularly excited about heat, but it has this fruity quality that no other pepper has, and it's so, so delicious.
Is it hard to get here in the region, in Boston, in greater Boston?
No, it's actually very sourceable. In fact, at the restaurant, we don't do a lot of powdered pepper. Most of our recipes are Scotch bonnets.
Gotcha. And again, you are a chef partner, Kwesi Kwa, Comfort Kitchen, which is in Upham's Corner.
Upham's Corner, Dorchester.
Great. Please continue.
Run, don't walk.
Yeah.
The restaurant is so fabulous.
Yeah, so basically you build the stew, and then I usually let the best thing, fun fact, if you make the stew a day before and let it sit, all the flavors steep and meld, and it makes for a more flavorful base. Mm-hmm. And then you cook the rice.
I would say a lot of chefs will say this, anything that has like complex flavors in any sort of like ragu, sauce, whatever it might be, day two at least.
Yes.
All right. Can we eat some?
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Right. Absolutely.
Would you like to serve a little? Let me get plates for... I can use this plate again, and then you can give Tiffany in the bowl.
I'll take the whole pot, actually.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
And I think we've got some serving pieces there.
Yes.
So does the grain of rice matter?
No, but I prefer basmati rice, long grain.
Okay.
Because
just a little on here for me.
The rice itself, it needs time to cook. Mm-hmm. And I find that basmati holds up a lot better than like your average jasmine rice or anything like that. So
Tiffany, you're first.
Mm-mm.
No, I'll talk
so
while you... Okay, yeah. So I'm going to smell it while you eat. So, oh my God, I don't even need to eat it. Just the fragrance of it, right? It's the... It smells like winter to me. It smells like
nice
those
flavors.
Yes, like it would warm me from the inside out.
And it will.
And you can smell the tomato. You can smell the pepper in it. Okay, my turn.
I love this so much. Something. It's so delicious. So at first blush, you would look at this and it's very similar visually to like Spanish rice, essentially. It's got a beautiful like rust color to it. Yep. The grains are like, there's a little bit broken and a little bit intact, which is what I love. Like it gives like great texture to it and a little softness. There's this beautiful, like you get the tomato and you get the peppers. This is one of my favorite dishes. And then the heat comes in the end. I mean, I could go more heat, but you know.
The heat does come in the end, like you're
delicious.
Eating it and then all of a sudden, hello.
It's like, hi.
Yeah, it's hello.
And one
welcome.
It's interesting because we don't really have, this is such a perfect Thanksgiving dish because we don't have any heat at the Thanksgiving table. So this is like, it provides a break and it provides a little bit of zippiness. It's just, it's tangy, it's warming, it's delicious.
Yeah. We're about the spice. And our family, so we put curry in our jollof.
You do?
Mm.
Yeah.
This is a surprise to you?
Yes, I'm about to call the jollof police.
No.
I'm not the person. The curry makes it.
So we actually did a collaboration with Curio Spice where we worked on a jollof spice.
Interesting.
And so I replace the curry with that spice mix, the jollof spice mix.
It's cool.
And you don't even have to touch any other spices.
I wouldn't have pulled that out had you not said it. Now that you're like psychosomatic, like I'm tasting it now.
It's gorgeous. Oh, yeah.
It's so pretty.
Auntie, cousins.
You love it. I love it.
Your favorite memory from childhood, eating jollof rice.
Ooh. Christmas.
Mm.
Well, actually, every celebration, really. No, seriously.
It
wasn't something that we ate on a daily basis, but, you know, every celebration, birthdays, Christmas, you name it, Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So we are going to take a break in just a moment. We're going to say goodbye for now to Kwesi Kwa, chef partner at Comfort Kitchen, where we're supposed to run to, not walk.
Run.
In Upham's Corner, the jollof rice we'll put to the side. We're going to bring it back later. And when we return, Tiffany Faison will still be here.
I'll be here.
And it's time for the main course in our Friendsgiving here on Radio Boston, so don't go anywhere. There's so much more great stuff to come.
Psyched.
And plus, then I get to eat more rice during the break.
I'm taking
me.
This
there you go. Thanks so much. We'll see you later in the show.
Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we are continuing Friendsgiving here. Still with us, celebrity chef Tiffany Faison. So glad you're with us.
So happy to be here. This is my favorite show of the year.
I love this. It's a blast. And joining us now here in Studio 2, Colin Lynch and Heather Kennaway Lynch, owners of Bar Mazana, Black Lamb, Shore Leave, all in the Southland. And Heather, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Great to have you, Colin. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Hi,
thanks
guys.
For having us.
All right. So we're doing a main dish now. What
pressure's
are the two
on.
I know. What did the two of you bring us?
We brought a little turkey lasagna.
Okay, so turkey. I'm not surprised. Yeah. Lasagna. Why'd you decide to bring it in lasagna form?
So we were kind of talking, it's something that's always on the table at our, especially Heather's family. Any time we have Christmas or a big holiday, somehow there's always a lasagna.
I don't know why.
Yeah, do you have Italian heritage?
No, my family's from Scotland.
You know, that great pasta capital of the world, Scotland.
I think it's so that we have leftovers that are different from what we ate for dinner.
That's smart.
Everyone has like a polite bite, but everybody takes it home to have the next day.
Wait, so have you guys, you've always had lasagna in your family?
It's really, yeah.
I think it's a Rhode Island thing.
It is probably Rhode Island.
Is it a roadie thing?
I think so.
Italian influence.
You know what? Yeah, I never thought about it until he brought it up. He's like, you guys always have lasagna with everything. I'm like, yeah, so what?
Isn't that interesting?
But I never thought about it.
These are the things that I love about Thanksgiving is finding like little gems that are like, you know, everyone, we all know turkey, mashed potatoes, blah, 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 all the things. But like to find something that's like really family specific, like the little quirks of family and things that like it's, you didn't even think about it. Like, of course we have lasagna.
Okay, now we'll get to the turkey in a minute because that's a gimme, right? Yeah. But in the lasagna that you had growing up, Heather, what was in it? Was it a meat lasagna, a vegetable lasagna? Well, you know, what was in the one growing up?
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest. My family is from Scotland, so we're not great cooks. So it came from whatever local Italian bakery.
God.
Oh, you bought the lasagna.
Yeah, what's that?
You bought the
lasagna. Oh, yeah.
Oh, smart. Because I'm thinking like, okay, it's so much work. Like Thanksgiving, and then you're making lasagna on top of that.
No. Like my family, I love them to death, but they're not great cooks. So being from Scotland, Thanksgiving wasn't a huge thing for us. And then not being great cooks and having a food-centric holiday was also pretty tough. And so it was never my favorite holiday. And then we started dating and I started going to his family and my family started coming to his family's home. And Thanksgiving is like the ultimate at their house. They live in a big old barn in Newburyport. Like it's all very traditional Thanksgiving. And I was like, this is what Thanksgiving is.
I see. Wait, do you bring lasagna to their family now?
Well, Colin makes it now.
You make it.
We don't have to buy it from anywhere.
So, so you're making lasagna on top of all the Thanksgiving things as well.
Yeah, but, you know, it's fun. It was a transition not too long ago where my mom kind of stopped doing and having everyone over. And now we host everyone at the restaurant because we're not open.
Right.
And it's really, you know, it's easy with
commercial dishwasher.
Exactly. it's
a game
much
changer.
Nicer. But it's also nice to, it's not just our family, it's our friends, and it's anyone in our restaurants that doesn't have a place to go gets to come and have kind of a traditional
That's
meal.
Great.
So awesome. We have Heather Kennaway and Colin Lynch here of Bar Mazana, Black Lamb, Shore Leave. It's a turkey lasagna. So I have a couple more questions. We will get to the food, but I'm just so curious about a couple of things. One, Heather, you've just spent a ton of time convincing us that you have no cooking in your DNA. So how did we get to the place where you are, you know, owning multiple restaurants with great food?
Well, I always worked in the front of the house. I've worked in restaurants since I was 14 and have always really loved it and had the opportunity to continue to work in them. I moved to Boston to go to Emerson for what I thought would be a career in print journalism, but stayed in the restaurant industry and continued to work where I met a line cook at the time that I fell in love with. And we eventually got married. And so thankfully, the cooking DNA is on his side of the relationship.
Yep,
and
yep.
I'm sort of the guest facing front of the house. So still, I'm not a great cook either.
And line cook, when did you start cooking?
When I was like 12, I started. It was my first job as a dishwasher in Newburyport. And it was just an easy way to get into a job and make money and be able to have fun in the summer. And then meeting, like I love the spirit of the kitchen and the camaraderie. So there were a bunch of people there like, if you want to do this, like you should probably go and try and be professional about it. So,
but didn't I read somewhere that somebody tried to tell you don't do this?
Oh, yeah. The first chef I had, it was a really rough service. And I was like, I think I want to do this. And he said, do anything but this. Anything. Which if you tell a kid not to do something, he's like, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
that's right.
So I went to culinary school in Hyde Park at the CIA, Culinary Institute of America, and came back to Boston, worked for Barbara Lynch for years, and just fell in love with the city and the culinary scene here and all the people. And we knew that this is where we were going to. We spent most of our time living in the South End, and we wanted to own a business in the South End. So it all came together eventually.
So, you know, we've covered extensively here on the show tough environment in some of the Barbara Lynch restaurants. What kind of culture do you try to build in yours?
I mean, we host our staff for Thanksgiving. Like, taking care of the people that work for us is the most important thing for me. Like, there is no cooking in my DNA, but everything else that I do is, you know, I do it for the guests, but I do it tenfold for the folks that work with us.
Excellent.
Yeah, we try and listen to our staff and let them dictate how they want everything to be in our teams.
So why don't you start to serve? And while you're serving, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So I'm Italian.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a big...
I don't think I knew that.
Yep. So on my mom's side.
Okay.
And so always a pasta dish. Mostly gnocchi, ravioli.
Love it.
Any pasta dishes traditional at Thanksgiving or Christmas or one of the big holidays?
For Christmas, we don't do pasta necessarily, but we do cioppino.
Tell me, I do not know cioppino.
So growing up-ish in the Bay Area, like Dungeness crab is in season in the around December. Starts late November, early December.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an Italian by way of kind of San Francisco dish of shellfish stew. So it's like heavily pepper and tomato base with lots of seafood stock, a little bit of spice to it. And we would crack crab and so newspapers out all of the crab, all the mussels and clams.
Fantastic.
And we made cioppino for Christmas Eve.
That sounds amazing. And for the Italians yelling at me saying, how could you possibly not know a fish dish as an Italian? My family's from the northern border in the Alps.
I see.
So that's my excuse for
you
that.
Guys are mushrooms and cheese.
And potatoes.
Exactly.
That's right. Now, the fragrance on this is incredible.
This is beautiful,
so,
guys.
Tiffany tastes, tell us what we're eating here.
So pretty traditional lasagna. So it's meat-based.
Smells so
good.
We
basically made a bolognese with the turkey, and we like to richen it with some turkey livers. And then it has bechamel, a little fresh ricotta, and... a little bit of Parmesan, and that's just a lot of layers. And like we said in the last segment, we cooked this the day before.
I was going to ask.
We let it sit.
Yep.
We press it, and then we cut it, and then we sear it so that everyone gets a little bit of those crispy bits. Everyone likes that edge piece.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, two things that are new to me there. Mm-hmm. One is the pressing. Tell me about that.
Yeah, you just put another pan on top that's the same size and just gives it enough weight so that you don't have any air pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do cut it into these kind of squares and you get the layers and then you sear it, it doesn't fall apart that easily.
Got it.
It's just a really easy way, like, again, something you make ahead of time, get it prepared, like, just as Tiffany knows as a chef, like, the more you can get done ahead,
mm-hmm.
the easier it is to, like, you can have this seared, get it in this pan with the tomato sauce, and then you just pop it in the oven for a minute just to warm it through.
And so the searing is something anybody could do at home,
yeah.
too, in order to give everybody that edge piece.
Yeah, suggest doing that in a nonstick pan, though.
Got it. Yep. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's going to be a disaster.
Okay, so my turn to taste.
Go for
Tiffany.
It. This is so delicious, you guys. What you guys can't see is this... just it's like a millefeuille, like on the side. It's got beautiful layers. The turkey's really interesting because the traditional bolognese is like, I love it, but can be a little bit heavy, and this gives it some levity that's really, really nice. The crispy bits, I live for burnt cheese in all ways and all things. So to me, that's
why
is
I
like
love your pizza.
Half the point of lasagna, exactly. So this is just super, super delicious.
The thing that strikes me about it, having had a huge bite very quickly is the sweetness of the sauce, mm-hmm. right? That tomato brings a sweetness to it that offsets the lasagna in a way that makes it feel not like that tryptophan drugged feeling right. that you would have normally with a heavy...
It brings levity
yes,
to it.
Yes, yeah. it does.
The tanginess and the acid in the tomato sauce is yeah. really nice.
I also think yeah. a lot of people, they do Friendsgiving, they're probably actually going to do a traditional Thanksgiving at some point around there. So mm-hmm. it's like having something where it's like, yeah, it's fun, it's turkey, but you're not going to get like, oh man, I'm having turkey like 3 days in a row.
Right. right. So Heather, you were talking about this was the leftovers food, the mm-hmm. lasagna was. So several days in the fridge, it's still good. You can freeze it, I'm assuming.
Oh gosh,
still
yeah.
good.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, and also it's a great use of, like you were saying, you get sick of turkey. Like, make it into lasagna, put it in the freezer, and then you're like, on a cold night, you're like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic.
Right.
Perfect.
Right. Sometime in March when you're just done.
Right. I'm done way before March.
You pull so this true. Back out. Okay. Well, this was fantastic. So this is Heather Kenaway and Colin Lynch, owners of Barmazana Black Lab. I keep saying Black Lab. I have dogs on the brain. Always. It is Black Lamb. I've even eaten there. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
And Shore Leave, all in the South End. You'll be back at the end of the show yeah. as well. So when we return, we're going to go to that point where some of the people wander away from the table. Others are full and kicking back and all the good stuff starts to happen.
Love it.
Right? You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and I'm starting to get a little full.
No, no, pace the rage.
No. I'm so excited. We are here doing Friendsgiving with Tiffany Faison.
Hi, hi.
Second year in a row to
second
do it.
Second annual.
So great. And with us, El Simone Scott of America's Test Kitchen, among many other things. I yes. sometimes wonder how you get enough time in a day.
I
truly.
Don't. Yeah. I don't.
Okay. There we go.
I was like Beyonce busy.
There you go. And that's a new phrase that I will now be
Beyonce
using on a regular basis. And Alyssa Makiko Di Pasquale,
boom,
owner
boom.
Of Koji Club,
thanks,
which is actually the only sake bar in Boston.
In the Northeast.
In the Northeast, yeah. right. She's like, no, do not shrink my geography.
That's
there.
Right.
Yeah, I just so can't find it
Can
anymore.
I just first That's say right. these are two of my favorite people ever.
So tell me why.
Elle, I've known you forever. Yeah. And I just like, again, Beyonce busy and just like so self-possessed and brilliant at all the things that you do. And just like, I just love you to pieces.
Checks in the mail, honey.
And I know. It's like, we just need to spend more time together.
Yeah.
Boom Boom and I have known each other forever. I call her Boom. Like everyone that knows me knows her as Boom. We worked at Oya together in 2009 and we mm-hmm. have been, very, very close ever since. So, it was dark days for me at Oya and my mom would call and I was like ducking my mom's phone calls.
Oh, God.
So I was like dating someone I shouldn't, really shouldn't have. Boom used to have to talk to my mom on
Let's
the phone.
Let's just say I have a really good relationship with Tiffany's mother.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I love her very much.
You're a very like good person for doing that.
Like, she just went to the grocery store. I was like standing right there.
There was a period of time where I think I was talking to your mom more than my mom.
Oh, so. And definitely more than I was talking to my mom. Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
You guys know that other people can hear this conversation, right?
Including
You're aware
my
mom. Of that.
They all know.
Both of our mothers definitely know it.
Yeah, they know.
Okay.
Yeah. Candy knows.
So listen, here's why we put this together. So the two of you brought dishes that are representative of the time at the table, whether it's a family meal, you know, like Thanksgiving or that Friendsgiving or the other big meal where some people wander away and the people who stick around start dishing. And
Hot
I don't
takes.
Just mean yeah. food, right? right? I remember as a kid growing up in a massive family, I couldn't wait till I hit the age where I was allowed to be at the big person's table
yep.
yeah.
for this part.
That's right.
right?
Mm-hmm. For the gossip.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and yeah. the big person conversation, right, where all the truths got told, all yes. the stories came forward.
The wine yes. starts working.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Or the sake.
Exactly. So Alyssa, we'll do your dish first because this dish, give us the full name.
These are baked stuffed artichokes
there
by
you
grandmothers.
Go. They're your grandmothers.
Yes.
And that's what this dish was. Yes?
Yes,
So
definitely.
Tell us a little more.
So my parents have always hosted Thanksgiving for forever, for my entire life. And we've shortened it down to 5 courses
Oh,
now.
Good Lord.
shortened it.
Yeah.
5 dishes or 5 courses?
5 courses.
Yeah, that doesn't mean 5 dishes.
5 courses. Yeah, we start with an Italian antipasti. And then we have Italian wedding soup. And then we have turkey with every side that you could ever imagine. And then
I can
we
imagine
have
a lot. A I'm lot. Just saying.
And the table for every course is always covered with as many plates as humanly possible. My mother has the most beautiful plates. So it's like a art show for every course. And then we have dessert, which of course is never one dessert. It's usually 3 to 4. And you can ask for the medley, which is like a small portion
love
of
it.
All of them, mm-hmm. which is expected of you. And then you like can't really feel your feet anymore and you're exhausted and you're like trying not to nod off, but like it's really hard. And so some people kind of take the moment to go check the football score. My parents have a foosball table in the basement, which is always super fun. But if you stick around, that's the good stuff. Mm-hmm. That's where people start, you know, telling the details of their lives.
Yes.
And as I was the baby in the family for so long that I loved this period of time. I was treated like an adult. I got to hear all the hot gossip. Mm. I got to sit next to my cousin Amy, who's like always been my hero. And like this was the part where we could just like hang out together. And my grandmother would pull these baked stuffed artichokes
They're huge.
They're enormous. And we would, the point was to take them home so that you could eat them throughout the week. But mm-hmm. we'd put a couple on the table and everyone would be reaching for leaves as we were gossiping.
Oh, I love this.
All right.
It's like grabbing the mic.
Yeah.
Grab a leaf.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally grab a leaf and peel it off?
Yep. Yep. Okay. So these are my grandmother's recipe.
Mm-hmm. So we have two plates here with two giant baked stuffed artichokes
on each. They're so beautiful. Yes. Breadcrumbs on top.
Yes. So that's her original recipe. And then I made a riff on it with this one, and it's breadcrumbs and a little Parmesan cheese.
Okay.
Because who doesn't love that?
Well,
no
one. We've discussed cheese multiple times on this show mm-hmm. already today.
And what's so funny is the course that disappeared from our Thanksgiving mm-hmm. was the ravioli that we had between the Italian wedding soup and the turkey because we needed a pasta course too, right. which is just bonkers.
Right, right.
So introducing more cheese in some way was my invention for this year, which is really unnecessary. But
all right, so show us how to peel a leaf off.
Absolutely.
So Elle, when you and I met in 2019,
yes,
I came to learn how to make your great grandmother's lemon pound cake.
Yes.
And we had a conversation where you talked about that moment at the table when you sort of come of age and you learn the big kids talk mm-hmm. and the role that that group of people plays in a family. So, you know, in your household, is there that moment where some people roll away and everyone else sticks around and the intimacy
yeah.
of the conversation, I'm going to hand you that and I'm going to munch?
Absolutely. You know, it was usually the dessert time, right? Like the kids already had their own space and place to be, but when the dessert came out and the coffee came out, that's like when the real conversation mm-hmm. started to happen, right? Like over coffee, a lot of problem solving, like all of the aunts, the great aunts and the grandmothers, right, would help solve the problems of their respective tribes.
I love it.
Yep. Right. And mm-hmm. The good gossip would come out about, you know, the relatives
so
that
important.
Didn't come, you know, or some of the ones
that's why
that
you
did.
Always show up to Thanksgiving.
Always.
You never leave the table.
Always. It's not called Thanksgiving for nothing, right? Because it's the dish, right? You're going to get the, you're going to dish out a lot
yes.
of stuff.
Yes.
So that was the time. And you know, my great grandmother was a really good baker, and my grandmother kind of inherited it. She was more of a savory, you know, queen. But this pie, not this particular pie, but pecan pie specifically was my grandmother's thing. Right?
Really?
Yeah, that was her thing. And her sweet potato pies, those were
yes.
her things. But like things that go well with coffee.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I brought this pecan pie today. But this is a little different. This is not her recipe. But it is one that I like because it kind of cuts out the caro syrup,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you typically use. I mean, I'm like, you only eat caro syrup once a year.
It's
really
okay.
It's not
I mean,
that bad.
The truth is we eat it all the time.
It's true. It's true,
we
right?
Syrup all the time.
We do it on purpose
exactly,
once a year,
exactly.
right? But this is just more natural ingredients, and I kind of like that. You
fantastic.
Know? Trying to lean towards natural things.
I love it.
So while you serve that, what we're going to do is Tiffany's going to tell us about the flavor she tasted in Alyssa's artichoke hearts.
So good.
I've got a knife here for you. We've got
try
some serving pieces
you can tell me
there.
Which one
oh, this
I should bring
great.
Home to my family on Thursday.
So go.
Well, one of the things that I was going to kind of comment on, I'm sure you've thought of this, Boone, because you're so intentional about everything. Artichokes are the great wine killer. They kill wine.
Killer?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean? Like W-I-N, not W-H-I.
W-I-N-E. You cannot, like, it's very hard to drink wine with artichokes without killing the wine. That's why we drink sake. So we drink sake with artichokes because it doesn't kill the sake.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. And sake, of course. Tell us why you wanted to be the only sake bar in all of New England.
Because I think sake is really delicious. I think it has kind of a bad rep for really no reason. And so I was just getting a note from my bartender, Courtney, who worked last night, saying that like people were stopping by, picking up bottles, specifically some aged sake mm-hmm. that has a little like some cool like caramelly raisin notes to it to be able to bring home for their Thanksgiving tables because they've spent a whole year quote unquote learning about sake yep. drinking at our bar and they're ready to bring home their favorite bottles
super
to,
cool
yeah
is there Pecorino cool. in here
yes there is
yes so yeah. It's sharp it's really delicious because artichokes one of my favorite foods neutral but it not they have a really soft like vegetal quality to them like really delicious I will steam artichokes and I have them in my fridge all the time I eat them all the time and so each layer is sort of stuffed with like breadcrumbs and pecorino I think there's a little bit of acid in here or lemon or no
mm-hmm.
am I making this up
nope
so it's got the sharpness of the pecorino up against like the really like beautiful softness of the artichoke is so delicious this is a nice is also a nice break from like all of the other things on the Thanksgiving table I can imagine that like one leaf at a time this is so as I take a leaf I'm gonna give one
so I've had and it's delicious
I think the rule is you try a leaf and you give us good gossip so boom what do you got
Oh, my gosh.
The gossip.
Excuse
me, Anna. Yeah, have any good gossip for us?
Grandmother's recipe.
Well, so I will. This is what I will do.
Okay.
I will not give you good gossip, but I will tell you that when I made it to the grown-ups table when mm-hmm. I was a kid, so mm-hmm. I'm the youngest of 9 children, 8 living children.
Wow.
And most of my siblings are significantly older than me. And what I discovered is when they got enough older, what would happen is at that table, they would start confessing the stuff they had denied when they were younger and at home.
Yes.
Yes. And there was a stretch where one of my brothers was the mayor of our city.
Really?
And he was confessing lots of things he had done, oh, right?
Oh, as the mayor?
And no. Okay. But, like in high school and stuff. And we're all like, Ted, buddy, no.
Keep
you
it
need
in the
to
vault.
Wait. That's right.
It's too late.
Soon.
It's just, yeah.
That's
Once
right.
it's out, it's out.
So don't worry. I'm not saying any of those stories. But I remember just being like, goodness. I can't believe you're actually telling mom and dad and anyone else that you did this. But that would be the place that they would eventually air it out.
That's one of my favorite things is when we get old enough with our siblings that we start confessing things that we did that you sort of know they did anyway, but right. denied for years.
Denied.
Crashed
like
my brother's
flat
pod.
Out lied. Did not crap. Excuse me?
No,
you're not. I think Tiffany just said she crashed her brother's car.
I crashed my brother's car.
There
and,
we go.
Like had to change a tire and then I hid the flat tire.
You did not.
I did.
Where?
Almost killed
Where do you hide a tire?
Well, we were kind of white trash, so there were stuff in the front yard anyway.
Got it. You can bury it.
Now you can see it. Yeah. So I like hid it around others. There wasn't really stuff in the front yard. But I just put it where there was a slit on the tires. I just turned it around. He didn't notice. And then I cracked the block on his car. He found out like it stopped working like a week later.
Oh, dear.
I pretended to like have no idea. I told him maybe 3 years ago.
Oh my
I wrote
goodness.
Him a check for the price of his car. It was like $2,500. I was like,
oh
here
my
you go.
Goodness. So we're here with Tiffany Faison, who just said that. Alyssa Makiko Di Pasquale, owner of Koji Club. And we are now, I'm the only one who has not yet had a bite of El Simone
You're not
Scott's
ready.
Pecan pie. She is of America's Test Kitchen, among many other things. And the reason I put the dessert last was the dessert was when all the confessions happened.
Yeah,
in our house.
And you saved the best for last.
There mm-hmm. you go.
Yeah,
this is wild. Tell us what's. Please talk
this
to us about
so
this
good.
Pie. It's so good.
Okay, so
oh my gosh,
it's so shocking. Mm-hmm. It actually yields the same sort of delicious goodness as if you were using caramel syrup. But I just created that from scratch. I used light brown sugar, a little molasses, some heavy cream, butter.
It's so good.
And egg yolks.
But it's
and
not oppressive.
Yolks. It's light.
It's not oppressive
yes.
at all.
It's sweet as all get
out. It is sweet, but okay. it's also, it's so delicious.
I want
and
coffee.
The crust.
I want coffee
you
right
want,
now.
This is made for coffee.
Yes.
Don't sweeten your coffee. Have it nice
no.
and piping hot and black and eat
With this
pie.
What's
yeah.
your pie crust secret?
Are you telling?
I'm not telling.
You're the editor of America's Test Kitchen. It's your duty to tell
and
us.
And this is when we tell secrets.
Okay, here's my
no
secret.
No one's listening.
He's
I
my
promise.
Secret. My secret hey. Is...
No. I'll leave. I'm gone.
My secret is that I chose our winning store-bought crust, and it's
what?
Pillsbury.
This is store-bought?
This is Pillsbury?
Yes.
No.
Yes, it is. It's our
security,
winning.
Security, come get out.
No, mean, I love this.
We've tried so many different so store-bought good. Crusts, and we found that the Pillsbury pie crust is actually the best, closest to homemade crust.
I have been killing myself like a sucker.
Kill yourself no more.
Oh, my goodness.
Let Pillsbury do the work. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah. I'm shook.
I'm really quite
thrilled.
Surprised.
I might make a pie now this week because you told me that I could.
Well, I will say this about Thanksgiving baking. Like, they're baked.
Store-bought
like,
is fine.
I don't bake. I just am not a pastry person at all. I can't. But I do feel like there's like a different brain for Thanksgiving baking. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
it's like
I
you
do.
Can just click into something that's like, I don't know. I don't understand it. But my pies are fine on Thanksgiving. I'm not saying this. They're not brilliant, but they're fine.
Well, this is brilliant. Absolutely. So here's what we're going to do now. All of our chefs, I think all of our chefs are still around. I think we might have to go. Are they all in studio too? Great. So they're all going to come back in now. Now, we don't have mics for everybody because we are not a live concert stadium, right? But we've got some boom mics up. We're going to bring everybody back in. We're going to put a bunch of food on the table. People are going to taste what they want to taste that they haven't had a chance to try yet. That pizza's going to go fast. The lasagna, come on in,
Joel
everybody.
Rice is coming back in.
So oh, yeah. we've got, so coming back in, Kwesi Kwa of
Comfort Kitchen.
Thank you. I was almost said Commonwealth Kitchen. That was last week of Comfort Kitchen.
Heather and Colin Lynch.
Right.
Leave Black Lamb.
Parmesana. That's right. We've got the pizza. We've got the jollof rice. We've got the turkey lasagna. We've got the peel and eat baked artichoke. We've got the pecan pie. Everybody serve up a dish. And here's what I want to do. I want you, please take whatever you want to eat. Seriously, these mics are live here on the end. You see these sticking up like this? For those of you who don't, okay, so this one's live. Please take whatever you want to eat. We've got plates all around. Start serving yourselves. And I want to take this moment to be thankful.
Mm. Yeah.
It's that. And I want to mark, and now I'm speaking to you who are listening, and I want to be really clear about this. For some of you, Thanksgiving is a bad time. It's either a bad time because of things that have happened in your life or because you're a part of the indigenous community and it means something very different to you. We are marking that. We are recognizing and understanding that. And I see you and I respect you. Mm-hmm. Let's all stand just in the space of community and gratitude. And let's talk for a minute about things that we're thankful for. And I will say today the thing that I'm feeling most thankful for are all the people that I'm looking at through the glass that we do this show with 5 days a week who are so incredibly dedicated to the work and who make it a pure joy even when it's hard. So today I'm thankful for the Radio Boston team. That's going to be the thing I'm giving my grace up to. Tiffany.
Such a tough time in the world right now. Really grateful for our safety and our freedom right now. I will say it's interesting that you mentioned that. This is a really important time of the year to remind people that they're not alone if things are tough. I've had an extraordinarily difficult personal few years. And so this is my first holiday season where I have a home again and I'm settled, put my tree up yesterday. And so that feeling has been missing in my life for a long time, and I have it back, and it's really lovely. I couldn't
lovely.
Be more grateful.
Alyssa?
I'm really happy for you, too.
Thanks, me too.
The Koji Club launched in the middle of a pandemic. I had given my notice in February of 2020 to open a bar, and there are people who still, there are guests, not even guests, they're my friends now, they're basically family, who participated during the pandemic, but who also still come in almost every week, every other week. Some of my bartenders have opened up beautiful new concepts and they go visit them. And I am really grateful for them in this moment that it was exactly the community that I hoped to build. They are the heart and soul of what the Koji Club is all about. And I am grateful for them.
That's lovely. Mm-hmm. We have a little less than 2 minutes left.
Sure. I'm really grateful that we get an opportunity with food to like really honor our ancestors mm-hmm. and like food history, right? Like it's a story that keeps telling. So I'm really grateful to just to continuously be a part of that narrative and to share it and hear other people's stories as well.
Yes. Kwesi, if you want to come into this mic right here, go ahead. Yep.
Oh, wow. I'm thankful for the team that just refused to give up at Comfort Kitchen.
Yeah.
I mean, we fought through a pandemic and still our whole team has just stood by us. And man, just we're about to be a year old and everybody's still with us.
So, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
And Colin and Heather, last to you. Heather, you're going to be the one.
Okay. I'm thankful for... like everyone else has said, getting through COVID and really looking forward to 2024, having my friends, family, all of our coworkers beside us to look forward to a new year. And I'm also thankful to be here with you all. This is really something special. I'm going to remember this for as a new Thanksgiving memory for a long time. So thank you.
Fantastic. Heather Kennaway Lynch, Colin Lynch of Barmazana Black Lab. I keep going to do it constantly. Black Lamb and Shore Leave. Kwesi Kwa of Comfort Kitchen. Tiffany Faison, always, and Alyssa Makiko De Pasquale of Koji Club and El Simone Scott of America's Test Kitchen. Thanks for being our friends on Friendsgiving and for being with us today.
Thank you. I'm grateful for you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR. Tune in again tomorrow for more Radio Boston. We're going to head out now and eat.